Open your Bible to Matthew 13, verse 51. Jesus saith unto them, Have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, Yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, Therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. This is the close of the section on the kingdom parables. So the Lord said this to his disciples who had been brought into the house away from the multitude. No doubt the 12 apostles were in the group, but we don't know how many were there. So the question to them, have you understood all these things? Did you understand all these parables? Everything that has been brought before you. It shows that the things that he spoke to them had some difficulty in them. But they were of great importance to be understood. And I think he was greatly concerned that they should understand what he said. I think he would have been willing to instruct them further. He knew that they, at least the apostles in the group and the other 70 if they were there, were going to be instructing others about these things as the time went on. So they said to him, Yea, Lord. It's a blessing to read this. I think they told the truth. I think they paid close attention when he was telling them these things. And it speaks of their quickness of understanding. The Lord knew before he asked whether or not they understood. But he wanted them to say, yes, we did. Now, I'm going to ask you the same question. Have you understood all these things? What I'd like to do today is say verse 52 to the end, and then we'll address that. I want to briefly, and I magnify and underline that, briefly, go over what we've covered. And I think this is marvelous. Our Lord taught us that all of the work in the ministry, the sowing of the seed of the Word of God, was going to result in meager results. Don't be discouraged when most don't listen, or when they appear to listen and last for a little while and then fall off. So consider with me again the parable of the sower. I'm going to read verses 18 through 23 and just a couple of comments. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed in the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. He that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. This parable, the first one, is different in this respect. It does not include the statement, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto, but it is in the scope of the kingdom parable and has to do with the kingdom. We ought to be blessed to realize that we have the understanding of the Lord. The Holy Spirit is our teacher, and he teaches us the truth of these things. The Lord had told them, it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it's not given. Some people are never going to hear it. In fact, I'm persuaded that most will not. So in this parable, the seed that's sown is the word of God. And when it's preached, it falls on four different kinds of soil. The soil represents the souls of men. Some fell by the wayside, where it was immediately snatched away by the devil. Some on stony ground, where a bright profession of faith was made, but they endured only for a time and then became offended at the word and fell away. Some fell among thorns, and those who appeared to be were troubled by the lust for riches and the cares of this life, so that they brought forth no fruit to perfection. Only those who were called the good ground produced fruit. So it's the idea that the seed sown and continues on to the end. It's what we may expect in our preaching, in our witness. Most will not bring forth fruit. Thanks be to God. There is a plus side of this, that some will. God's elect will hear. They will understand it. They will bring forth fruit. And like Paul, we ought to be those who endure all things for the sake of God's elect. And I agree, once again, we don't know who they are. So the preaching is promiscuous. Second, let's review the parable of the tares among the wheat. Read verses 36 through 43. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. Notice that, not the church, but the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world or the end of the age. And the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather lotuses out of his kingdom, all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So this is plain enough. We see the Son of Man sowed the good seed in the world, which are the children of the kingdom. That's you and I. But an enemy called the devil sowed among the children of the kingdom tares called darnel or reprobate wheat. Looks like the other, but it's not. And when the fruit appears, then it's clear. The field is the world, not the church. So the tares cannot be totally recognized until they mature. Thank God at the end of this age that he sends his angels to gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and will cast them into a furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father. I think this has to do with the final judgment of the living nation. That's the time when these are gathered and cast into the fire. Until that time, we're going to live side by side with people that profess to know the Lord who really are not. And that will go on all through this period of time until the end of the age. The third parable was the parable of the mustard seed. And that's verse 31 through 32. Another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it's grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. We see here that the seed, mustard seed, was sown in the field, which represents the world. It grew to great proportion. It became a monstrosity. It became a tree, something it was not designed to be. was no longer what it was planted to be, an herb, but a tree. And in this tree, which the kingdom of heaven is like, birds, fowled, representing the devil's emissaries, come and lodge in the branches of it within Christendom, within the professing Christianity. There are scores of infidels. That's going to continue on. This shows us the kingdom has in it wicked men who hold to and preach false doctrine, thereby polluting the great, good, and right doctrine of the scriptures. Some of these men, learned as they are, have used the translation of the scriptures to bring in damnable heresy by giving us perverted versions of the Bible, which are not really a correct version after all. They're like the bird in the tree. And that tree is represented as the kingdom with these devils, emissaries in them. We can expect false doctrine on every hand. The parable of the leaven in the meal, verse 33. Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. A woman out of place as a Christian teacher. She took 3 measures of meal. It represents the good and correct doctrine of the kingdom. And she introduced into it leaven. Our Lord told us that leaven is false doctrine, evil. And she introduced it till the whole was leavened. I think we can say today that much of what we understand has been tainted by the introduction of false doctrine. You say, well, God could have prevented all that. And somehow, some way, he has designed all of this, that in the end, he's glorified. Amen. There can be no question about that. It shows us that out-of-place people will cause the faith once delivered unto the saints to be corrupted by false doctrine, all during the course of the kingdom while the Lord is away. It's not going to get better. It's going to continue on as it is. You look at the mustard seed, you look at the leaven, and you look at the tares among the wheat. And from a human standpoint, it's pretty discouraging. I think the main thing that would trouble us about that is our children and our grandchildren. Brothers and sisters, keep on teaching them. Keep on training them. Keep on giving them God's word. And pray and pray and pray. We never know if they're part of the elect. As long as they're living, in spite of their waywardness, there is that chance that they may be one of God's elect and will be saved. As long as they're living, there's hope. Thank God for that. Amen. Then next, the Lord introduces the first of 2 sets of people that are his in this world. verse 44, chapter 13. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hidden in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. A treasure hid in the field, when a man found, he hid. What is that? Brothers and sisters, it's the nation of Israel. It's crystal clear that this is exactly what the Lord did. That nation was hidden out of sight for years upon end. And when the Lord came to them, the Lord Jesus Christ came and began to preach to the lost sheep of the nation of Israel. One of the things he did because of their rejection was to disperse them in the earth and hide them in the earth, where that nation remained in almost entirely today. The Jews are hidden in every nation on earth. Still, they retain their identity. They retain their language. And it goes on to say that for the joy thereof, the man who is the Lord Jesus Christ went and sold all that he had and bought the field. Whatever Adam lost in the fall, the Lord bought it back, because he's going to bring the earth back to a condition better than what it was in the time of the Garden of Eden. Israel is going to be saved and brought back. And that, of course, is what we know. That's a wonderful teaching. I love that so much. Then in verse 44, chapter 13, we read, beg your pardon, 45 and 46, we read of the pearl of great price. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. So many who are of the Arminian persuasion try to say that this is a sinner who sells all that he has to come to Christ. The problem is he has nothing to sell. He's bankrupt. He's dead and sin, so it just doesn't fit. The merchant man seeking goodly pearl is our Lord. The same as sowed the good seed. So when he found the one pearl of great price, he went and sold all he had and bought it. That pearl, beloved, is the church. The church of the firstborn. All the saints eventually are in heaven from the Lord's churches. We found out why the pearl was picked. It's a special, beautiful gem which is formed in the depths of the ocean, in the muck and mire, out of the sight of men. And it came from an injury to the oyster, when a foreign element, maybe a grain of sand, caused a wound. And the oyster emits nacre layer after layer, which covers the wound and eventually becomes a beautiful pearl. And the church is aptly represented as the pearl of great price because of its unity. If it were cut or severed like other gems were, it would destroy it. So the man, the Lord, sold all he had and bought it. He became poor that we might be made rich. Brothers and sisters, we are his people, bought, lock, stock, and barrel, spirit, soul, and body, God's inheritance, for whom he has prepared unspeakable things that are going to be realized in the ages to come. Maybe this doesn't do anything to you, but it does to the soul preacher. God has done so many good things for us, prepared us a place in the Father's house of many mansions. And I don't care if others do criticize it, that saints have a desire to be in a beautiful place. I can't imagine a greater reward for this old sinner than to be in a place so wondrously beautiful that it cannot even be described in human words. The city of gold. It goes beyond our imagination. Vast and unprecedented. It is, I'm convinced, the Father's house of many mansions, which will come down from God out of heaven on the new earth. And because he has washed you and I from our sins in his blood, he simultaneously made us both kings and priests. You hear that? We are kings and priests. We're going to judge the world. We're going to reign with him forever. We're going to live in a mansion which is a room for Lord, which we will be Lord. Imagine that. A sinner, dead, depraved, and could not help himself. And Christ came and brought us to himself and made us something unspeakable. That is so wondrous to me. That's the place of the church. The New Jerusalem, brothers and sisters, is the home of the church. Read that chapter and you read it. Oh, the angel said, let me show you the bride. And when he said, he showed me New Jerusalem descending from God out of heaven. This is the house of the church. This is the home of the church. And the Bible says, I don't care what people say, the Bible says the nations, plural, of them that are saved will walk in the light of that city. Praise God. You can do anything you want with that. But I know that that place is the home of the church. Praise God. And finally, the seventh parable, the parable of the dragnet. Verse 47 through 50. Again, the kingdom of heaven was like unto a net. It was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. Which, when it was full, they drew to the shore and sat down. They drew it to the shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, plural vessel, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the age The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now, we considered this dragnet the last time, and some of you thought I was out in left field, and maybe I was, but I want to say a couple of things here. I believe I preach what is the right explanation of this parable. It's common knowledge to those of us who study and search for truth in the scripture before preaching that there is a wide variance of opinion written by very learned and able men about this thing. They do not all agree. And I do hope and pray that this old man is not so filled with pride that I could think that I have every point right, but I do think I'm right. I've been greatly helped by others. I think you will agree with me that this last parable has two distinct parts in terms of time. It's like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore, sat down, and gathered the good into vessels. Notice that the angels at the end of the age simply remove the wicked out from among the just. At some point in time, the just or the good fish have been placed in the vessels, plural. I was thinking about that in the middle of the night last night, and the Lord woke me up and said, you know, when John the Baptist was preaching, he talked about the Lord gathering his wheat into the garner, singular. When we all go to be with the Lord, it's a single place, not a plural place. There's no question about that. But these put the good fish who were recognized as such in the vessel. And I do not believe that preachers put people in the churches. I didn't mean to give that impression. But I do believe this, that, and I have experienced that the churches look to their pastors for recommendations on prospective church members almost entirely. I've seen folks do that my whole life. I think that could be the same. At some point, the bad fish were somehow recognized and cast away. They had no more to do with them. In other words, they were not put in the same vessel as the good fish. Now, the severing of the wicked from among the just is seen most clearly at the judgment of the nation in Matthew 25. This section of scripture is in the same context as both chapter 24 and 25. And it has respect to the kingdom of heaven. Evidently, the angels of God are employed in gathering the wicked and then casting them away in the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I think this happens at that time when the Lord returns and all he sits on the throne of his glory and all nations are gathered before him and he separates them like the sheep from the goats. Remember, the sheep are set enter into their inheritance prepared for them from the foundation of the world, while the goats are cast away. This is when Christ's reign begins, when Israel is restored, and you and I reign with him on the earth with a rod of iron as the saints of God. To me, this is a wondrous thought. We're going to judge the world. There's no question about that. And this is a time when all the saints of God who have kept the Lord's work unto the end shall be given power over the nations, and they shall reign with Christ over the nations with a rod of iron. This, you can't help but be comforted in this, especially in the light of this present evil world. I was talking to a man this morning. Man near and dear to me. He wanted the Lord to bring things back to this country like it was. I said, I don't think it's going to happen. We don't need to cry out to God for him to restore the blessing that we had. What we need is a national repentance and confession of our sins, both personal and national, to the Lord. And it may be, brothers and sisters, that as a nation, we have passed the line and we are marked for judgment. And who could say that we're not at this very moment being judged of God? He's given us wicked leaders. And what greater thing could he do to bring judgment on our land but to install wicked leaders? There's not a person in power who God didn't put there. You may talk about the vote, you may talk about all the things that happened about the election, but God put these people in office. I shudder to think about it. But we are now continuing to kill the children by the thousands. We are more and more extolling the virtues of sodomy and homosexuality and have put national blessing on marriage of these people together. Murderers walk the streets and are free from the jail, and no one will take their life from the earth. Why would not God judge our nation? But this we're reading about begins a new age on earth. The 1,000 years reign of Christ, sometimes called the earth's seventh day, the great Sabbath. I want to say this to you if you never heard me say it before. Our history is just at 6,000 years since Adam. Do you hear that? And the scientists say billions and billions and millions and no telling what. It's a lie. And it's deceit. Earth has had her 6 days since creation. And now the seventh day is coming, the day of rest and peace, like the world has never known. It's the Lord's doing. He will do it. He will bring it to pass. I don't mean to get on my soapbox, but I know it's true. And I think down deep in your heart, you know it's true as well. It's not going to get better until the Lord comes. And when He comes, thank God, it's a new age. It's a time of peace and beautiful things, prosperity. The time when all of Israel will be saved. Time when old men and little children play in the streets of Jerusalem. The time when the lion is struck like an ox. And the bear and the cow feed together. No poisonous snake to little children lead them about. Can you imagine? This is wonderful to me. Just a few more words here and I'm done. Now let's read verse 52 again. 52. Then said he unto them, unto his disciples, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. Since they had a clear understanding of these parables, well furnished to preach the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven to others, the Lord encourages them. So he's talking about scribes. He's not talking about the wicked scribes of the New Testament time who were men of great learning that transcribed the scriptures and sometimes were very knowledgeable of them. But he's talking about his disciples as scribes who learned and gathered all these things, being instructed under the kingdom of heaven. This is a blessing to his disciples. It's a blessing to us. Blessed are the eyes of his people if they've seen and understood. There can be no doubt that these ignorant and unlearned men, the followers of Jesus, grasped those things. Now he said, those that are instructed under the kingdom of heaven, like a man that's a householder. It's like a man who has a family under his care, as the apostles were, and the pastors of churches who have since been chosen to minister. The church is called the household of God, the household of faith, a spiritual house. It's a family consisting of fathers, young men, children, of which Christ is the master. But these under him have oversight of the house of God and are charged with feeding the flock, providing spiritual food for them to protect and defend it. And it all requires gifts and abilities, great love and affection. God has given these householders wisdom and knowledge, great faithfulness and integrity. And he said they bring forth out of his treasure things new and old. You have to be able and will be able to teach people at every level, new converts, old men and old women, every individual, little children, wives, fathers, and mothers, according to their need. Every doctrine that can be considered milk or meat can be brought forth. Grace and comfort to help the weak. Things of the kingdom of heaven to encourage us in such time as this time in which we live. Strong meat to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. Brothers and sisters, it's a privilege that the Lord allowed me to preach through this chapter while studying, praying, to get it right. If you need to talk to me about this personally, I'll be glad to do it. I know I'm dull of hearing. Sorry, I'm an old man. Let me urge you. If we can help, we want to help you. So, remember, in spite of the things that God has allowed wicked men to do within his kingdom, remember this. Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh, I will in no wise cast out. He said in the 10th chapter of John, the great shepherd chapter, other sheep I have, present, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Few words here to any here who are not yet saved, do not yet know the Lord. I pray that it will be God's will to open your spiritual eyes so that you can see. And he'll open your spiritual ears so you can hear and understand. Like all of us, you're a son or daughter, the first Adam. And because you're born a sinner, you commit sin. You've no power nor will to save yourself. But if you understand that you are in your present condition, underscore this, without hope. There's no hope for you in this world. Brother Craig read about the end of men under the sun. You're going to die. You're going back to dust. But more than that, you're going to end up in a terrible place. I urge you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Call on his name. All who call on him and confess him with the mouth will be saved. Will you do that? If you have believed, will you confess it? Will you follow him in baptism? Will you then unite with this church and glorify him in your life? We pray it'll be so.